Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
This is CBS Eye on the World with Michael Brown, visiting scholar at Stanford University's Hoover Institution. He's the former director of Defense Innovation Unit at the DOD. Michael, what is strategic ambiguity? And are we in some fashion rejecting it, bending it, updating it? What does it mean?
So strategic ambiguity comes out of the Cold War and basically says that if Taiwan were under attack, our policy today is that we reserve the right to defend it. We're not committing to defend it, but we reserve that right. Of course, that comes out of the changing nature of U.S.-Taiwan relations, where the U.S. supported Taiwan after the communists drove Chiang Kai-shek to the island. But then we reconsidered after Nixon went to China in 1972. And, of course, China has its One China policy, which, of course, included Taiwan and Hong Kong. So strategic ambiguity is a way for us not to diplomatically recognize Taiwan, but have recognized the Communist Party in Beijing, but say that we would reserve the right to defend Taiwan. Ironically, I don't think, while that policy does not serve us anymore, it's pretty clear we would not want to abandon Taiwan. It's not in our interest to change the policy explicitly, because that would create escalatory moves on the part of China. However, we need to make more credible the possibility that we would defend Taiwan. And I would think a strong deterrence does that. So that's what we need to do. Not so much focus on the policy change, but ensure we could adequately defend Taiwan. And there's a lot of things we need to do in the U.S. to make that credible.
Yes, one of them is very hard to picture in my mind because it's about how the Pentagon works. It takes 12 months to get through the Pentagon, 12 more months to get through Congress, and 6 months to get through contingencies, is my memory of what you've taught me, Michael. What does that mean, that it takes 30 months to spend a dollar on equipment?
Yes, we have a very long time frame for budgeting for anything related to the Defense Department. So as you just outlined, a lot of time planning that, a lot of time for Congress review, and then 9 years out of 10, we don't pass the budget on time, just as we didn't this year. So that means there's 30 months between when you plan on spending a dollar and when you actually get to spend that dollar. As the threats change quickly, as new technologies emerge, this is no longer good enough. It was probably never good enough even in the Cold War, but it's not good enough for competing with China and other adversaries, which can move quickly. So we have to be able to move more quickly to field with more current technology than we do at the Pentagon today.
And the Defense Production Act apparently is a workaround. What does that mean?
So the Defense Production Act dates from the Korean War and really allows the president to commandeer elements of the economy to aid in wartime. We saw that used recently with the COVID vaccine very effectively, where the president was able to work with companies and say, we need your help maybe to produce ventilators or PPE and the vaccine makers. So we need to think about perhaps using that again. Congressman Mike Gallagher has called for this. This could be very effective in the area of munitions that we talked about before, to be able to work with those companies and provide some additional funds and incentives for them to expand capacity and train their workforce.
And I believe this is what you did at the Defense Innovation Unit. You identified commercial enterprises that are immediately useful for defense purposes, but especially for Taiwan. How does it work, Michael?
That's right. The Defense and Innovation Unit is looking at current military problems and seeing what's available today to solve that problem. We introduced 100 new vendors to the DOD in an environment where the defense industrial base is shrinking. So the idea was, let's take advantage of all the innovation that's happening in Route 128 and Silicon Valley and other innovation hubs so that we get the military more current gear in the areas of AI, autonomy, cyber, space, et cetera. We can use that capability again to make sure that we have stronger deterrence to China relative to Taiwan, make sure that Taiwan is a bristling porcupine with asymmetric capabilities provided by the commercial sector, and that the military continues to upgrade its own capability and add to the large weapons platforms with lots of small things, which can be provided by the commercial sector and can be fielded in 1 to 2 years, not 1 to 2 decades, which is what it normally takes the Pentagon to field new capability.
I think you can have a Starlink in 3 days from Amazon. So let's go to your recommendation for joint exercises. What does that mean? What does it do for Taiwan?
So today, the U.S. engages in a lot of joint military exercises in the Indo-Pacific region, but they don't include Taiwan. So we have those exercises with Japan or Australia or other allies. So again, a very effective part of deterrence would be to include the Taiwanese in those exercises. We need to do as much as we can with allies so that China would know that if it were to attack Taiwan, they're going to face a united front of a host of allies who are ready to aid Taiwan economically and militarily. And on the other side of that coin, what economic consequences there would be in terms of sanctions in advance that would further deter China, a very important part of deterrence that obviously we didn't have in place before Putin made his move with Ukraine.
And exercising with Taiwan, integrating Taiwan's capabilities with the exercises with Japan or Australia or other allies, the United Kingdom or France in the Pacific, all of this is meant to achieve not conquest of China, but what you call changing the calculus in Beijing, if I read you correctly. How would we know we've changed the calculus? Is there a way to measure that, Michael?
Well, we really never know, but we can see it through the absence of conflict. And if we can delay war and hopefully deter it forever, that's a victory. I think it's important that war would never come about. And the only way we achieve that is, as you started the broadcast, through strength, by China knowing that it's not going to be a cakewalk. In fact, it could be unwinnable. And were she to launch such, what we hope would be a catastrophic exercise in adventurism, that it could even spell the a change in the regime in China, that folks would rise up and say, this has created so much chaos, it's not worth it. One important factor in that is the access to semiconductors. Taiwan has the unique ability to supply most of the world's semiconductors, about 60% of global supply, and 90% of advanced semiconductors, those that are use geometries less than 7 nanometers. What that means is we would face a worldwide depression much bigger than the 1930s if the world lost its access to the semiconductors from Taiwan. That would also create further chaos, not only in China, but in the rest of the world. We really need to start thinking about semiconductor security the way we think about energy security. It's a vital part of the way we live our lives today, the dependence on chips.
Michael Brown, Hoover Institution, former Director of Defense Innovation Unit. I'm John Bash.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.
Unlike other health concerns, mental illness is not always easy to see. Depression won't show up on an eye chart, and you can't measure it on your bathroom scale. Sorting out a mental health concern is not something to attempt on your own. You won't find a bipolar disorder by looking at a thermometer. Like many other health conditions, help for mental illness takes professional diagnosis and treatment. Anxiety won't just go away under a stick-on bandage. So the sooner you seek treatment, the better. If you or a loved one has a mental health concern, don't go it alone. Find out what to do. For 24-hour free and confidential information and treatment referral, call 1-800-662-HELP. Learn more at samhsa.gov/support. That's samhsa.gov/support.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
In Indiana, summer means more than sunshine. It's hiking miles and miles of trails to magnificent views and cruising through caves on underground river rides. It's spending the night in a floating cabin and scuba diving into your next big adventure. It's riding a horse and buggy through historic towns and camping with elephants at a wildlife park. It's anything but ordinary. Plan your trip at inindiana.com/summer.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.